you tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The FAA has a plan to reduce the big delays in the Northeast, but it'll take some time. CBS's Dan Revive.
You have for water.
Here's the plan: change some of the air traffic lanes above New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and reduce flight delays by 20% in 2 years, even as the number of planes in the air keeps increasing. Federal Aviation Administrator Marion Blakey told CBS News last month,
Congress at this point does have a bill in front of them, and if they'll act on it quickly, we can move to it quickly.
But legislators from the Northeast object there'd be planes flying lower over houses. They tell the FAA to change its plan. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Air traffic controllers say there's a lot more to reducing delays than just changing some flight routes around. Working conditions matter, too.
You have water falling down through the ceiling on top of controller positions working in electronic equipment where they have to put an umbrella above their head while they're inside.
Patrick Forey, head of the controllers union. San Francisco has been blinking today. Sporadic power failures here, there, no easy pattern to it. One rapid transit station is on battery backup, and the power company can't explain it. President Bush made the case for continuing in Iraq to deny terrorist groups like al-Qaeda a home.
Some will tell you that al-Qaeda in Iraq is not really al-Qaeda and not really a threat to America. Well, it's like watching a man walk into a bank with a mask and a gun and saying he's probably just there to cash a check.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democrats say President Bush has it completely wrong. The occupation of Iraq has increased the threat from al-Qaeda, they say, not reduced it. Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed.
Our real strategy should be going after the key leaders, bin Laden, Zawahiri, in Pakistan. That has not been done.
Reed says the fighting in Iraq now is mostly about trying to shore up a failing government and stop sectarian violence, not fighting al-Qaeda terrorists.
Commissioner David Stern says he's sure the NBA referee scandal is limited to just one suspect referee, and he does not think any games were actually fixed.
What we're dealing with is betting and providing information. I don't know of any charges yet or any discussions of anything else that relate to the fixing of games.
One ref, Tim Donaghy, resigned on the 9th and is reportedly talking about a plea deal with prosecutors. At Crystal, a nightclub in London, a Middle Eastern businessman with money came in with 17 friends and started drinking. Magnums of Dom Perignon, Cristal, an 8-bottle-in-1 Methuselah, plus vodka and other spirits, lots of other spirits. Oh, and 6 Cokes, too. Total bill, $218,000. On Wall Street, the Dow took a big hit, losing 226 points. The Nasdaq off nearly 51. Oil prices, $73.56 a barrel, down by $1.33. This is CBS News.
Who doesn't love summer? The longer days, baseball games, and of course, road trips. That's why Econolodge and Rodeway Inn Hotels are giving you a free $50 gas card. With our Easy Choice Rewards program, just redeem 6 stamps for your free $50 gas card. It's one more reason to love summer. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com today. We'll see you there.
Earn 1 stamp per night. Maximum 5 stamps for qualifying stay. Redeem 6 stamps between 6-1 and 8-16-07 to receive gas card. For details, visit easychoiceonline.com.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to campusdoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit campusdoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
A doctor whose patients died of big painkiller doses after Katrina will not be indicted.
The No True bill means the homicide charges have been dropped against Dr. Anna Poe, but Assistant Louisiana Attorney General Julie Cullen says state prosecutors are standing by their case.
It's our position this was homicide.
But Orleans Parish District Attorney Eddie Jordan, who would have to bring the case to trial, says he's satisfied with the grand jury's decision.
I think justice has been served after
due process.
The prosecutors had accused Poe and two nurses of mixing what they called a lethal cocktail of drugs to euthanize seriously ill patients that were stranded at Memorial Medical Center as it was surrounded by floodwaters. Charges against the two nurses were dropped earlier this summer. Mike Conti for CBS News, New Orleans.
Roasted nuts are great unless they're sun roasted on the tree, growth stunted, crop ruined. To protect his walnuts, a farmer in Fresno is lightly spraying his trees with mud. Might work, might not. Says he won't know until the harvest. Worth a try. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Reason number 13 to switch to Geico. Everybody else is doing it. Now, we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to GEICO for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Stuck in the middle with you once again. And of course, there's no place I would rather be. Here for three more scintillating hours of the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly investigative citizen journalist from bradblog.com. Brad Friedman sitting in for PBC, who's enjoying himself across the pond somewhere in Italy, sipping Chianti, whatever the hell it is they do out there. A huge show, as I say, three bang-up hours, some great guests. I'm going to give you that list very shortly, but to let you know, we're broadcasting from Houston, steamy Houston, Texas. From the bowels, as it were, of KPFT, the Pacifica affiliate here in Houston, 90.1 FM, the good folks here at KPFT have been kind enough to open up their doors to us, to let us completely ruin the place for the past week or so. We're going to be here throughout the end of the week. And I believe Christine Kraft out of Sacramento is going to pick up for us as Peter B. Collins, that slacker, continues to goof off in Italy for another week or so. But we're going to be here for another week bringing you all the news that's fit to report, the stuff you may not see on MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, CBS, NBC, ABC. Although we will have former CBS producer Mary Mapes with us this show in a bit. She's fired by CBS fame. She of the producer who brung you the Bush National Guard story, and a lot of good that did her. Or did us, because she's out. We're going to talk about that and her thoughts on her coverage of George W. Bush down here in Texas, and is
Oh, the death penalty, which he just can't seem to use enough when he was governor down here. But when his good pal Scooter Libby got a few months in jail, oh, geez, that was excessive. Also, Jason Leopold from truthout.org is going to be with us as well. Later, also, our Election Integrity Hour, as always, with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, going to give us a quick update on what's going on in the daily voting news. And Leonard Piazza, the election director for Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, wrote a pretty extraordinary letter. We've got details of that at bradblog.com. We're going to talk about that more in a bit. He is smashing up the voting machine company, ES&S, and you don't often see the election directors going after the voting machine company, so of course we'd love to get in the middle of that. But before we get to all of that and your calls, and by the way, you can call us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We're going to have a free speech zone throughout the next 3 hours. Try to take your calls whenever we can. Before we get to all of those guests, we've got some in-house guests. Actually, we're the in-house guests, but they're sitting down with us here. Dwayne Bradley, the general manager here of KPFT Pacifica Houston, who's been kind enough to have us all week long. He's sitting in with us, whether he likes it or not. He's had a long day. Glad to have you here, Dwayne. How are you, sir?
Oh, tired, but good to be here.
Are you tired?
Yeah.
Running a community radio station, an exhausting prospect?
It's a grinding experience, often very rewarding, and often very frustrating as well.
And you've been at it. Well, you've been involved with KPFT 90.1 FM since, what,
1974 is when I first walked in as a volunteer when I was in college. I've been around off and on, more off than on in the 90s, and more on since 2002 when I was asked to come back.
Give us an idea, because I don't think a lot of people know. Even I, you know, I live in Los Angeles, and we happen to be lucky enough to be here in Houston for these couple of weeks, but we've got a Pacifica affiliate station out there, KPFK.
Right.
Even I don't really understand how it works. How does community radio, specifically Pacifica, work or not work, as the case may sometimes be?
We work diligently. We work feverishly. We work because people have given us the money to allow us to work. And the thing that's unique about community radio as compared to other forms of public broadcasting, your typical NPR-affiliated classical clone kind of radio station that runs on university funds and lots of corporate underwriting money, Pacifica, which is the foundation that owns and operates five stations, of which Houston was the fourth, built back in 1970 here, we run on listener donations exclusively, except for a relatively small community service grant that we get from the Public Broadcasting Corporation. It amounts to, in our case, under 10% of our budget. The other 91% of the funds that run the radio station come from the people listening. We don't have a sales force going out saying, hey, how'd you like to underwrite this show? How'd you like to sponsor that show? We go directly to the listeners.
Is that more the way the NPR stations work? They sort of underwrite each show separately?
Yeah, they have folks go out and sell hour by hour, and you sponsor the hours. And they also augment that with on-air drives the way Pacifica does, maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. We, unfortunately, because of the way we operate, we come to the listeners a bit more frequently. We're in this habit now of almost seasonal fund drives. We're going to be doing one here the first week of August for about a week just to raise the funds to get us through the fiscal year that ends in September.
Right.
So, you know, what's unique about us is we rely almost entirely on volunteers to produce all of the programs, all of the voices you hear on the air are people who come down here because they feel passionately about something. It might be the death penalty. It might be blues. But whatever that is, you know, KPFT provides them a window to share their passion with the larger community. In return, we ask the community to occasionally give us a tax-deductible pledge, and we run the radio station that way.
And so the people who have shows here, these are not broadcast professionals. These are folks from, necessarily, at least mm-hmm. when they start, these mm-hmm. are folks from the community who come in and say, I've got an idea for a show. I'd like to talk about this or that. And is that how they work? How do they get on the schedule to do a show here?
They make a proposal to our program director, to our program council. They come in with a good idea. If it meshes with the mission of Pacifica, which is to foster cross-cultural understanding, to provide access to voices who otherwise wouldn't have access to mass media, then that proposal, we look for a place for them. We try them out. We have something somewhat unique here in Houston. Noon on weekdays, we do a program called Open Journal. It's available to anyone in the community. Any member of our listener community can submit a proposal to do a half an hour or an hour long program. We test fly a lot of new ideas that way. We actually, 5 years ago, opened up a 15-hour chunk of airtime Monday through Friday from 10 to 1 and flew dozens and dozens of ideas out across the air. And Otis and myself, Otis McClay, the program director at the time, and I ended up putting 30 new programs on the air in the summer of 2002 based on that model.
And these are people then that have not necessarily done radio before. They've just got an idea. They want to come in and sort of be, you know, we talk at bradblog.com. I'm always talking about being the media, you know, and encouraging citizens.
Right.
I'm a citizen myself, fell into this nonsense somehow, accidentally. But, you know, citizen journalists and so forth, to, I encourage them to be the media. This week I'm saying be the broadcast media. And call us and get the word out. Is that the same thing that we're looking at here with folks who come into Pacifica stations, whether it's here in Houston or around the country?
Yes. We are not here to be the Columbia School of Broadcasting. If someone comes in and wants to become the next Wolfman Jack or something like that, well, we direct them to, you know, a commercial DJ training school. This is not our purpose.
Do you have a number for me? I could use the. I'd like.
Well,
to
you said you fell in.
Manager.
I thought you said. I thought you were admitted that you're a felon. But
no, that's for the
not
next
yet.
Hour.
Not
that's
yet.
Right. The day is young. But so it really is community radio in the most true sense of the word.
And for the folks out there listening, I mean, this radio station is perhaps one of the most community of community radio stations. We're operating out of a house. It was built in 1915 in this what was then far-flung suburb out in the south side of Houston. We're 2 whole miles from downtown, but in 1915 this was way out in the country. And the house, strangely enough, was actually a spec home built by a guy named James A. Baker. Familiar name to those in the
James A. Baker?
Yeah, there's a family relationship there, yes. And this was a family home up until the 60s. It, for a period of time, was an art gallery. Yoko Ono had a show here in the early 70s, and in 1974 it was converted into this radio station. So we're operating out of what was a back porch, looking into a beautiful backyard of a former home that is a community radio station now. It's difficult at times. We're not enough space, 3,400 square feet, for all of the work that we do here. And not a lot of that is actually air space, not studio space.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people sharing old converted bedrooms upstairs. We're producing news programming out of a former bathroom upstairs and things like that. It's
actually, I stopped listening after you talked about James A. Baker. I've just got the creeps.
Floored by that?
Yeah. Let me ask you, because we got to get out here for a break, and I know you got to get going very quickly. This place, was it this place that was bombed in the 1970s?
Well, this place was not bombed. Our radio station transmitter was bombed, and it was located in a cow field, you know, 20 miles south of Houston, and the Klan strapped dynamite to the transmitter in May of 1970, a few months after KPFT started in March. It had only been on the air for about 8 weeks at that point. Blew the transmitter up. We were off the air for 3 weeks. Came back on, and they came back and did it again, except with more dynamite, three or four sticks this time.
The Ku Klux Klan in 1970,
twice. And when this first happened, actually, the FBI wasn't even sure if it was against any kind of federal statute. No one had ever, and no one has since ever blown up a radio station. This one was blown up twice. Its first year on the air.
Well, congratulations on that.
We got
to get out for a break. Where can folks help out? I want folks to please send some money to thank these guys for allowing me to be here all week.
Well, you know, use the web and just go to kpft.org. Look at us. Check us out. And if you feel compelled to drop a dime, then you can do that safely and securely through our website.
Please help them out.
Yeah, thanks.
Much appreciated. KPFT.org. Dwayne Bradley, the general manager of KPFT. Speaking of bombed, we're going to be back with Odie McClay after this short break, also from KPFT. Right. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks, Dwayne.
Thank you.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Oceans 18, finally a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium and the American Tin Cannery. Oceans 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Oceans 18 opens at 12. Stays open late every day. Oceans 18 Miniature Golf.
pieces.
And you contrast that allegory or metaphor of a slave auction, a reverse slave auction, with the alleged free and fair elections in this country. And, Jim, on this program, we spend an hour every week talking about election protection, election fraud. That's not the same as voter fraud, which is nearly non-existent. But the way elections have been manipulated in the recent past gives me great concern, and you address that in the book. When you look at the Gonzalez, Rove, U.S. attorney, vote caging, I mean, all this stuff links together and may not be obvious to the average American yet. But there was a concerted effort to manipulate elections, if not commit fraud, in both 2000 and 2004.
Yeah, and, you know, but the thing that strikes me is that the biggest frauds occur before the polling booths open. Something, you know, Bush and his terror warnings in 2004. Bush was pulling one rabbit out of the hat. You know, the people in the Justice Department were trying to make people wet their pants twice a week with, you know, with these dubious warnings.
Yeah.
There was a survey out. Cornell University did a survey in 2004 and found that that each time that the federal government issued a terror attack warning, Bush's approval rating rose by an average of 3%. Now, 3% happened to be the difference between Bush and Kerry. Even the who's that tall guy from Pennsylvania, head of Homeland Security?
Tom Ridge.
Yeah, even Tom Ridge complained that some of those warnings were bogus after
right.
he quit.
Yeah, Ashcroft went public with one, and Ridge said, "Excuse me, you don't know what you're talking about. Take that orange alert down." We got to take a break. We'll return with Jim Bovard. The new book is called Attention Deficit Democracy. Your calls and comments are welcome. We'll go to the phones in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B.
Every day. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testified lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Would you say it's time for a constitutional colonic? It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Wow! I feel good.
Yeah, now that we're back. Trouble with the bird.
I feel good.
Usually that only happens with community. They knew you were here.
They knew I was here.
So good!
We were told by the folks in San Francisco that we lost contact with the satellite out there in Denver, however that happens, but we are back. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. Collins. We're sorry for that short delay. Lord only knows what you folks were hearing out there on the airwaves and coast to coast and around the globe via peterbcollins.com. By the way, I forgot to mention, stop by the chat room at bradblog.com where we'll be keeping an eye on what you have to say all day long. Hosted, I think, again today by the lovely Agent 99. Go to bradblog.com, the top item there. Click on comments. Put in yo 2 cents and any questions or thoughts or anything else you may have for us, and I will do my best to keep up with them. Or you can drop me a note at brad@bradblog.com. All right, picking up where we were. Oh, coming up next hour, by the way, Mary Mapes, formerly of CBS News, fired after the Dan Rather public beheading, I think is what it was. And much, much more as the Peter B. Collins Show rolls along with me, your friendly guest host today. Well, we were speaking before everything blew up with Dwayne Bradley, the general manager of KPFT Pacifica Houston. They're our host out here.
No connection.
1. Was it to you?
No, it's no connection. That
Dwayne Bradley?
That did not cause the problem.
Oh, it wasn't his fault
right
that we lost the... No, it certainly wasn't. They've been very good. They've been hosting us here, 90.1 FM here in Houston, where we're broadcasting from. Of course, you can get more info on them, and you can help support them at kpft.org if you wish. And no, it wasn't his fault that we lost the satellite. It was completely nothing to do with us. That voice you just heard...
Sunspots.
...was a man by the name of Otis McClay. Better known around here as Odie. He is the man who got me on the air two years ago now, summer of 2005, when we realized we needed to drive across the country, get on the air in Crawford, Texas, and tell what was really going on the ground there in Camp Casey. Had no idea how the hell I was going to get up on the air, But I figured we had about a 30-hour drive to get out here and figure out how. And in the meantime, I found Odie McClay, who said, yeah, I can do it. And somehow I think he used...
I think you constantly refer to the hamster wheel.
No, the hamster in the wheel, that powered it. And I think you were using cow patties for transmitters or something. I'm not sure how you did it, but you got us up on the air then. You got us back up on the air now here at KPFT.
I didn't do a thing.
It's all your fault.
I had nothing to do with it.
Thank you for doing that, sir.
Okay.
And thank you, by the way, for sitting in with us this hour. And because Odie and I, he's been keeping us up on the air here all week long, except for that last 15 minutes, which wasn't his fault. And we've been chatting in our free time about the problems with the media, which we talk about a lot on a PBC show. And I believe that one of the problems was the dissolution of the Fairness Doctrine back in 1988 by one President Ronald Reagan. And I know Maurice Hinchey, a congressman from New York, is trying to move forward legislation to restore the Fairness Doctrine. Which essentially says, look, these
and
are the
public...
And he
also wants to set the caps back to 35%.
Well, we'll get to those caps in a second. You're right, and he does. We'll get to the caps in a second. But the Fairness Doctrine essentially says, you know, these are the public airwaves, and as such, they're leased by these stations. As such, they have they are a public service to the community, and they can't be used essentially for propaganda, which once Ronald Reagan did away with that Fairness Doctrine in 1988... Well, things changed, and we got things like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and all the rest, and that's all you hear if you drive around the, you know, we drive all over the place, and coast to coast, you hear four different conservative, quote-unquote, conservative talk radio stations. Good luck finding a liberal station, a progressive station, and even here in Houston, which is what, you is a Democratic so-so? You're not sure?
It used to be, but it isn't so much anymore.
You think it's
if
more
you look
Republican
at the returns,
now? Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you got a Democratic mayor.
No.
Yes.
The city, well, ostensibly, the city elections are actually nonpartisan.
I see. Okay.
Parties aren't declared in the city
but
elections.
But did he come from the Democratic Party?
I think he's connected to the Democrats, but he's also very much a businessman.
And yet, short of KPFT, which doesn't really have a political agenda, so to speak, it's show to show, and am I right there, or does it have a political agenda?
Well, the idea behind one of the things in the Pacifica mission statement is that what we broadcast on Pacifica should be stuff that's not generally available.
Okay.
And so, in a sense, that implies the voices of the left are
right.
generally
huge,
available.
Huge city down here.
We said we are the balance before Rush did.
And there's no Air America. There's
not in Houston.
There's certainly no Peter B. Collins here. Very
we
few
get, we get Ed, I think we get Ed Schultz for a couple hours a week or something like
on the weekend. Yeah. Isn't that what you said?
I think
it's
so,
on the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, so your only option is Pacifica. So, you know, I'm in favor. I think we need to restore the Fairness Doctrine, and I know that Republicans hate it. Some Democrats aren't crazy about it either. I don't know if you're a Democrat or Republican or none of the above, but you're against
the
fairness.
I'm pretty much a yellow dog Democrat, all my life, but I find that, you know, as I get older, I seem to get more radical, like, you know, really disappointed with the Democrats in Congress right now, except for a few of them. I mean...
Okay, but why are you then against the Fairness Doctrine, which would seem to restore a fresh voice?
I don't know. You know, it's like if they put it back, I wouldn't scream and yell.
Mm-hmm.
But my theory about it is that it essentially gives the government some kind of impetus to deal with the content that radio stations are broadcasting. That's the first issue. And, you know, we have enough trouble with the FCC just doing naughty words. And the other thing is that it gives the illusion of fairness. I don't think that any of these companies that own hundreds or thousands of radio stations are stupid enough to actually allow fairness. I mean, I
so
think if Hannity and Combs or whatever it is now, because they, you know, the idea that we have these two opposing viewpoints.
That's right.
And so what we've got is Hannity, who is somewhere to the right of...
Attila Rupert, the Hun?
Yeah, or Rupert Murdoch, I was going to say. And then
same
we've got
thing.
Combs, who's only just a little bit to the right of Bill Clinton, who was the president that made Nixon look like Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could create this illusion of fairness, but you're not really going to be hearing the voices that counterbalance the extreme right-wing propaganda that we hear. What I'm more interested in is preventing companies from owning large numbers of radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, because that also happened at the same time. That was a result of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, introduced by Larry Pressler, who was not noted for his intelligence. But he certainly did a good job shifting radio.
So your feeling then is, if you restore the fairness doctrine, who decides what the alternative viewpoint is?
Yeah.
We end up with two different, which we have now, with this idea that, there's two sides, no more.
Yeah,
no,
well, that's one of the illusions, is we always say, there are two sides to every issue. No, you have to think of it more as a circle.
Yeah, but
there are all kinds of flavors of points of view.
I understand, Odie, but right
now...
And
some of those
yeah.
are literally never heard. Just never heard.
Exactly. And they ain't going to be heard if things stay as they are now. As I said, we drive around the country. You can look for the stations. You will hear 3, 4, 5 levels deep of conservative talk radio. You will not hear a single voice that is not.
We're broadcasting.
And it's not going to be perfect. Hang on. It's not going to be perfect. But it's going to give people a shot here and give other voices a shot rather than Clear Channel's voice, who controls everything.
But they would continue to control it. You know, this is unique. We're talking on stations now in California that have chosen to serve this voice that's not heard anywhere else.
Right.
Absolutely unique. These are not big stations. They're locally owned. And that's how I see radio working. I don't see any advantage to Monterey, which I think I looked it up. I think it has like 4 Clear Channel stations there.
Probably.
Something like
yeah,
that, 3 or 4.
Right. Yeah.
Why does a company own 3 or 4? I mean, what is the... Look, the whole idea of radio and the license that's granted by the FCC to broadcast on the public airwaves,
right?
Because that's the thing
that's right.
People don't want you to know is that you own the airwaves.
That's right.
Not some
And I've
company.
Talked to radio stations and television owners.
And
they don't even know. They
no.
think they own it,
right.
And the people think they own it. They don't. This is ours.
And that's what's so important. And we should be outraged that some company in San Antonio is using our airwaves to essentially broadcast, dare I say, PAP. I mean, I'm not opposed to music. I play instruments and all that. But it just tends to be this. I mean, if you look at, I looked at another one called Cumulus. There's a company called Cumulus that seems to own like about 400 stations. I was looking this up in the Columbia Journal, the CJR.org.
Quickly, we got to get to
okay.
a break.
Okay, well, let's do the break.
Okay.
And we'll get back to this one.
All
this
right.
is cute.
All right, more on fairness doctrine and your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. I know we got some folks on the line who have got some.
Yeah.
You want to hear some? All right.
No,
they're
going to
tell
calls.
You that you're wrong.
That's okay.
Odie. You don't care?
Those are the best callers I had when
right.
I had my show.
All right.
People who told me I was wrong.
Well, Odie McClay, former program director of KPFT here in Houston, national technology coordinator of Pacifica. He had a show here for 10 years. And, of course, he's entirely wrong on the fairness doctrine.
Used
we're going to talk to you're used to it, huh? All right, we're going to talk to him and let us know what you think. Is he wrong? Also, stop by the chat room at bradblog.com. Sorry about that delay before. Boy, right after we talked about bombing the transmitter... They disappeared. Thanks for pointing that out, Judge of Judges. We will, that was over in the chat room. We're going to be back with Odie McClay later on. Mary Mapes, Jason Leopold, all kinds of stuff, and the Election Integrity Hour and your calls. I'm Brad Friedman. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff,
Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Why would we hand the beating heart of democracy, the vote, over to a private corporation?
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're giving it to a corporation called Diebold, whose former president, Wally O'Dell, says, you know, I'm going to give Ohio to George W. Bush. We're giving it to a corporation like ES&S, who used to be run by Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska. I mean, it's our vote!
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Houston, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger from bradblog.com, sitting in for PBC. Speaking with Odie McClay down here in Houston, Texas at KPFT 90.1 FM. They're hosting us here all week long as we cover for Peter. Mary Mapes coming up after the top of the hour. Odie and I are talking about the Fairness Doctrine, restoring it. I think it needs to be done. Ronald Reagan got rid of it back in 1988. Odie is against it. He thinks we're better off without it, although you'd like to see the caps restored on the ownership of the media.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Yeah.
Which means...
I think that's the real issue.
Corporate ownership. They can currently own all of these stations, all of these media outlets.
Yeah, I was going to say this thing about... Cumulus, and I just noticed. I mean, I was looking at... It's at CJR.org, the Columbia Journalism Review.
Yeah.
Has a CJR.org/owner.
Right.
And it has a drop-down so you can see all of the different media companies and what they own.
Right.
And I just was thumbing through it, and here's this Cumulus that I'd never heard of, and they own like 8 stations in Poughkeepsie,
okay.
New York. Now,
right.
Poughkeepsie is, maybe 40,000 people.
And they own all the
And
stations.
They have like 7 stations. But then you look at what the stations are, because that one they gave the genre. It's like 2 are golden oldies, 2 are sports talk. I mean, all of these are interesting and all that, but they don't have anything to do with what's going on in the world that really affects how we live. So they clearly, in my opinion, behaved irresponsibly. And that's the issue. Now, if the Fairness Doctrine came back, I wouldn't complain. It would be okay with
Let's
me.
Take a call, and you can reach us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, if you want to ring in on this. Who do we got here? David? Do I have it right? David, welcome to the Peter B. Show.
Yeah, hi, Brad and Odie. I was interested in the issue of Rupert Murdoch and mass media ownership.
Well, he's a good example.
Before I went off on that sidetrack, I happened to think... these corporate chains that you're talking about, if you were to also study the religious networking, say, for example, you go to a state like Missouri and look at the totality of radio stations that they've got there, if you were to click on each one of the religious websites, you'd find that about a third of the radio stations in Missouri are using the religious radio stations. A third of the radio stations in Missouri are religious, and most of them are actually the same chain. And they're all playing the same neocon.
Springfield is a major source. That's a major place for religious radio.
Well, it may be,
it happens.
They compete with
community radio for the same space, for the same non-commercial space.
The religious
broadcast. And for instance, when the LPFM thing started, low power FM stations. The religious groups got together and just papered the FCC with applications in order to get as many of those frequencies as they could, and they essentially come under the same rules as any other non-commercial station.
David,
does that make sense, David?
Oh, it does, and as a matter of fact, I discovered a low-power station the other day that Clear Channel owns. So it's...
Well, that's not possible.
Beg pardon?
That's not possible.
Why is it not possible?
Okay. In order to have a low-power station, you have to be a local organization.
Well,
you can't own them remotely. And if they do that, that's really interesting. I would love it if you would send me or send Brad the information on that station.
No,
that'd
send
be
it
fascinating.
To Odie.
Send it to me. Give me an email
and I'll do it. I don't have it in front of me, but I can get it to you once I'm back in my office.
Send me a note at brad@bradblog.com. Hang on a second. Brad@bradblog.com. Yeah. And David, because I got to move on here, but are you in Missouri?
No, I'm originally from there, and I happen to be going through there. I actually call up radio talk shows day in and day out. I get up at 2:30 in the morning Pacific time
in order to
call East Coast time and try to mess with the talking points. So I know a lot about it, almost every state.
I'm from Missouri myself, David, St. Louis, Missouri, actually, and I did notice that while we were driving through there a week or two ago. Boy, tons and tons of religious programming.
True here in Texas.
You weren't involved with KDNA, were you?
I was not.
Oh, okay. I was originally, and Double Helix, I was involved with that for a while. I just wanted to get in a quick bite about Rupert Murdoch and foreign ownership.
Yeah, quickly.
Most people would never consider that the idea of having a foreign agent owning the media, and the idea that Rupert Murdoch is an Australian, a foreign agent, has such control of the mass media. I think I saw in 60 Minutes once that a third of the news broadcasts in the world are run through Fox News. And so the idea that Rupert Murdoch controls that much news and that much media, foreign domination of the press is outrageous.
Well, I don't think...
You make a good point. Actually, let me... We've got to move on. David, I appreciate your call.
Great
and
call,
stay
Dave.
In touch with us.
David,
so
thank
is
you.
That... this is something else that we get
I think there,
there
was
the
a there
caps.
Was a time when you couldn't... I don't think a foreigner could own a media in this country, own a radio station,
right.
And I don't know how... the News Corporation may be... I don't know. If the News Corporation is an American corporation, mm-hmm. then it's okay for it to do that, even though the CEO is foreign.
I don't know if it is or not, but this is what comes with deregulation,
and
there are pros and cons to it. Actually, let me ask you, Odie McClay, is there an upside to the deregulation here? Did anything good come of...
You know,
dropping the Fairness Doctrine in 88.
My father,
and then
my,
Clinton, let me add, the Clinton, the Telecommunications Act in, was it 92, 96?
96.
Did away with all of these caps, and it's just been...
No, it went from...
All hell has broken
loose. It went from a lower cap to a higher cap.
I see.
Right now, you cannot own more radio stations or media stations that reach more than 45% of the population.
45%.
Yeah. And like you could see in the Hinchey bill, that was they wanted to measure that by the arbitrants,
right.
Not by the market, which would mean you could own. I mean,
your station was popular.
And Hinchey wants to put that back to 35%, which was it was raised from the original FCC bill in the 80s or the 70s. And there's been this, you know, the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, is a very powerful lobby, extremely powerful lobby. And so Congress tends to do what they want. It used to be known that a license, which is, by the way, a certificate of public convenience and necessity. That's what they when they grant you a license, it's
right.
because you're going to serve the public.
Oh, they're
that's
just
the
kidding.
Idea.
That's
well,
just
internally
kidding.
In the yeah. radio business, they're known as licenses to print money.
Yeah, because well, that's for sure.
I mean, what do you got to do? You have a closet, and you play a series of 40 tunes over and over and over again, and you sell ads.
Yep.
I mean, what service
that's
are,
what
are
they
you
do.
Providing?
And I've been to some of those stations, for example, out in L.A.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody running them. It's run
right.
by a computer, and it is.
Right.
It's a money-making machine. Look, I gotta get out here, Odie McClay. I want to thank you again for everything you've done.
Yeah,
for
and
us.
I want to tell the people.
Yep.
I want to let me just
go
say
ahead.
One thing to the right, people who are listening to us on these stations. These are precious commodities. I'm not anti-commercial, and it's great that there are people who support these stations with their spots. So you know. Enjoy the fact that you've got something that we don't have in a big, big city here.
Well, you're
like
anti-commercial. You're,
well, no. The only problem with commercial.
You're a lefty. You're a communist.
No, the whole idea of not taking underwriting is no one can turn the switch off. No one can say, we don't like what you broadcast.
I think you may have been the guy who bombed the transmitter back in the 70s.
Well, I was in New York at the time.
Have they ever caught the guys who bombed that transmitter?
Well, they've investigated me, but, you know, turned anything up.
All right, so it wasn't you. But they never caught who bombed the transmitter at KPFT.
I think somebody finally admitted it.
They did?
I think somebody did. But I also believe there is a statute of limitations.
So no,
I'm
one,
not sure.
No one's been put in jail for it?
I believe that's correct.
Wow.
But I don't think that's the significance of KPFT, you know, or a station like KRXA or, you know, KGOE. KPOI,
what's
the KBBR,
the
stations.
In 15 seconds, what's the significance?
That these stations, the one you're listening to right now, is broadcasting information that you aren't going to hear anywhere else. You're hearing stuff that's outside what somebody has decided is the mainstream. This
rock
is
and
valuable, roll. Valuable radio.
Thank you, brother. I
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
Brad, for
it.
Doing what you do.
Odie McClay, former program director here at KPFT. Former National Technology Coordinator at Pacifica. He had his own show here for 10 years, and he's our the patron saint of Brad Friedman whenever I'm on the air, whoever will let me there. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Much, much more ahead. Your calls. Mary Mapes, formerly of CBS. Jason Leopold, currently of truthout.org. Leonard Piazza, election director.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
To bolster his case, the president declassifies intelligence.
However difficult the fight is in Iraq, we must win it.
The NBA commissioner on the rogue referee.
I can't believe it's happening to us.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush, speaking today at an Air Force base in South Carolina, cast the Iraq War as a must-win battle with Osama bin Laden's terrorist network. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Citing material from newly declassified intelligence reports, President Bush took issue with those in Congress whom he says minimized the threat posed by al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Here's the bottom line. Al-Qaeda in Iraq is run by foreign leaders loyal to Osama bin Laden.
For that reason, he says the U.S. must not leave Iraq until al-Qaeda there is defeated. Otherwise, he says Iraq could become a safe haven where al-Qaeda could plot and execute new attacks on America. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president at Charleston Air Force Base, South Carolina.
Ryan Crocker, the U.S. ambassador in Baghdad, met for 7 hours today with his Iranian counterpart.
The discussions were, as we say, full and frank.
In other words, tough. Crocker says he made it clear to the Iranians that the United States knows they're arming and training Shiite militias in Iraq.
what we've been seeing on the ground over the last couple of months has in many respects represented an escalation, not a de-escalation.
The two sides agreed to continue discussions. Now this.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
NBA Commissioner David Stern spoke today about former ref Tim Donaghy, who was allegedly involved in gambling on games.
I feel betrayed by what happened on behalf of the sport.
Stern says his information is that Donaghy is a rogue, isolated criminal.
He is accused of, or will likely be accused of, providing information to others for the purpose of allowing them to profit on betting on NBA games.
The commissioner says Donaghy is negotiating a plea deal. Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank says he's disappointed in his star quarterback, Michael Vick. Blank's telling the team to assume they'll be playing without him.
We owe it to them, and we need to provide them an environment in which they can plan for the season, working under the assumption that Michael's absence might well run into the regular season.
Vick has already been barred from training camp. On Thursday, he's due to be arraigned on federal dogfighting charges. Saying all citizens are innocent until proven guilty, baseball commissioner Bud Selig says he will attend Barry Bonds' next games as he attempts to tie and break Hank Aaron's career home run record. MySpace says it's deleted 29,000 convicted sex offenders, four times the number it reported in May. That's more ammunition for North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper, who's pushing a law that would require social networking sites to get parental consent before children could post profiles.
All we're doing is giving parents the right to make a choice as to whether their young child goes onto one of these websites and talks to millions of strangers, many of whom are proven to be child predators.
The FAA says it's taking steps to reduce a backlog of maintenance and repairs, but the head of the Air Traffic Controllers Union says those steps aren't quick enough.
It's like pulling teeth to get them to do anything about it.
Patrick Furry warned Congress today that poor maintenance is making the controller's job difficult, if not dangerous.
You have water falling down through the ceiling on top of controller positions working in electronic equipment, where they have to put an umbrella above their head while they're inside.
Calling addiction a terrible and vicious disease, Lindsay Lohan's lawyer says her client is receiving medical care after being picked up by police in Santa Monica early today. The troubled 21-year-old actress was allegedly driving drunk and had a small amount of cocaine in her pocket. She recently got out of rehab. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Who doesn't love summer? The longer days, baseball games, and of course, road trips. That's why Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels are giving you a free $50 gas card. With our Easy Choice Rewards program, just redeem 6 stamps for your free $50 gas card. It's one more reason to love summer. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com today. We'll see you there.
Earn 1 stamp per night. Maximum 5 stamps for qualifying stay. Redeem 6 stamps between 6-1 and 8-16-07 to receive gas card. For details, visit easychoiceonline.com.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Last summer, a New Orleans doctor and two nurses.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation,
I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Once again, here's Bradness.
I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name. This is at the Justice Department. I'm confident that the U.S. Attorney, the prosecutor who's involved in looking at this, is going to do a very thorough job of doing a very substantial and conclusive investigation. I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name.
Mm-hmm.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Defying explanation. Every day on the airwaves for throughout the end of the week, at least here on the Peter B. Collins Show, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist blogger, doing double duty this week, hosting Peter B. and blogging over at bradblog.com. Join us over there in the chat room if you like. I'll do my best to keep an eye out. We've got Mary Mapes with us momentarily here. We'll have some news of the day, if I can ever get to it, and your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. All right, well, Karl Rove didn't know her name, didn't leak her name. Sure he didn't. Neither did Scooter Libby. Sure he didn't. But he was found guilty of, if not doing exactly that, certainly obstructing the investigation into exactly who did. We know it was him. We know he done it. And, of course, he was guilty of obstructing justice. But poor, poor Scooter Libby with such a... what did Bush call it? It was overly brutal. Brutal that he should have to spend... excessive that he should have to spend so many months in jail. Well, someone who has some thoughts about that, and certainly about George W. Bush, my next guest, Mary Mapes, who worked in television news for 25 years, the last 16 years, at CBS News. You remember them, the Tiffany Network. She received numerous awards, including the coveted Peabody. In 2004, working with Dan Rather at 60 Minutes 2, her team broke the story of prison abuse at Abu Ghraib. Later that year, she was fired for producing a controversial report, that's putting it nicely, on President George W. Bush's military service. I just call him George W. Bush. Her book, Truth and Duty, is now available in paperback. She now joins us, a native Texan, I believe, but she was smart enough to get out and left me here. Hey, Mary, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi there, Brad. How are you?
I'm hot. Thanks for the humidity you left us with.
That's okay. I'm a native of Seattle, and I'm up in Seattle right now enjoying some cool weather, but I like Texas. I don't know if it's some kind of personality problem I have, but I still live there and I like it very much.
Well, I like it too, actually. I should be kind, but it is hot. Listen, you had a great piece over at Huffington Post a week or two ago, taking a look with your reaction to the Scooter Libby verdict that was thrown out essentially by George W. Bush. He hasn't always been quite so concerned about people who are wrongly accused of crimes, has he?
No, it was actually, as I watched that thing unfold, it was really pretty moving him. I'd been in Texas since 89, Bush became 85, and I watched him turn down, I believe, 152 people for any kind of mercy and death penalty cases. And so it was really something to see that he actually, did have a pardon pen, or he did have a commutation gene in his body, and he gave it to Libby. And it just reminded me of all the various cases that I'd seen him rule otherwise on. And these were life and death situations.
Go ahead.
Be executed. So I thought it was, if he thinks 3 years in prison is excessive, execution, that's about as excessive as it gets.
I'll say. Did you were you down here in Texas? Did you cover him when he was a governor down here?
I did. I mean, I was working on the CBS Evening News at that time, but we certainly covered Bush, and I think we were very aware, everyone was, that this was a guy who was preparing to make a run for. So I was always interested in watching him and using his governorship as sort of a template for how we might see he would behave in the Oval Office.
It was clear early on, was it not, down here in Texas, that this really was a template for what he would do in the Oval? I mean, the whole time it was meant as a run for the White House, was it not?
Well, it certainly was preparation for that. It was sort of like a notch on his belt that he had to get before he went higher. But the thing that really was fascinating is that the whole system you see in place in the White House now with the cronyism, with the same cadre of close advisors, nobody gets in, no information gets out, the secrecy, the deference to people who are well connected to the moneyed, all of that was in place in Texas, and I always felt, and we talked about it some at the time, there were down in Texas that really told you everything you needed to know about the way the guy approached governance and leadership and how he viewed the role of an executive. And it was really no surprise. You know, Molly Ivins, one of her last columns, she said, next time somebody runs for president and we tell you not to vote for him, pay attention.
You said, we miss her. You said that Bush signed death warrants the way Britney Spears signs autographs. He refused to allow stays, even for DNA testing. You told the story of I guess it was the prosecutor who had requested a stay, and even in that case, this guy Bush, who all of a sudden he's got to commute his friend Scooter Libby's harsh sentence, the prosecutor themselves is asking for a DNA test because they found new evidence, and what,
yeah,
he just refused?
It was a lead arson investigator. The inmate's name was Jerry Lee Hogue, and I'm just from memory, I think he was executed a couple of people after Carla Faye Tucker, and Carla was February 3rd, 1998, so it's, you know, we're looking like maybe March of 98. Hogue had been on death row for a long time. It was an arson rape case. There was no DNA evidence, of course, at that time, since it was an older crime. And another man had been accused of and rape at the same time that Jerry Hogue was. And what this investigator, looking back on the case as came up, what he discovered was that the other man accused had since been convicted of arson and, I believe, sexual assault. And it indicated to him that there was a strong possibility that this guy was the one who'd done it. The investigator and some people within the prosecutor's office and a number of other folks, along with a great defense team, but had pushed very hard on the governor's office to delay for a DNA test. And that was refused, and he was executed.
Mm. Well, you called, and I think you hit this nail on the head. Bush and his trusty sidekick, Alberto Gonzalez, they've been at this all along. You called them the Laurel and Hardy of the legal system, a death row dream team. And indeed, Gonzalez would put together clemency briefs from their clemency petitions, give them to Bush. And do we even know if he bothered to read them or not before completely ignoring them out here?
Well, no. I think if he... I'm sure he signed them. If he read them, Harper's did a great thing, and through Freedom of Information Act got 57 of those applications that Gonzalez had made for Bush, those clemency petitions. And basically what they did was give a very prosecutorial take on the case. They did not include any exculpatory evidence. They didn't include mitigating factors. Mm. Illness or retardation or any of the other things. They were pretty hardcore thumbs up or down and why don't you do thumbs down kinds of thumbnail sketches of him. So it was, if that was the only information you got on the case, and we all know that Bush tends to be an incurious fellow, then it would be very difficult for him to do anything other than, you know, Texas has an odd situation, too. There's a pardon and parole board, which actually, officially gives the thumbs for down. The board is all appointed, was all appointed by Bush at that time. Ironically, they never met. There are about 18 people on the board. They never met to consider a case. They would have everything mailed to them, and then they would look at it at their leisure. Occasionally, they would make a phone call one to another or fax something.
Oh, brother.
They turned everybody down. Yeah.
Well,
well connected. Yeah, I mean, it was a perk. It was not taken seriously.
All right, we're going to have to take a break here. We're speaking with Mary Mapes, formerly of CBS Evening News. Mary, I don't know if you're on a cell phone or not. We may want to try to call you back on a landline if we have one, or if we can get a hard line there. We're going to take your calls and talk about the public beheading, if you will, evisceration of Dan Rather. I believe he was railroaded. Mary Mapes was his producer on the National Guard story. We're going to talk about that. I know we got some callers on the line. Have some questions for you, Mary. We're going to be right back with much more here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-488-888 for carryout to die for.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
All right, folks, let's take a look at the very latest. Starting off with a problembo. Excuse my Spanish. Not very good. Here's the good news. No problems to report in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. So, what does that mean? That means happy traffic. But we can tell you about road work. For example, Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Eveline, the off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day at excuse me, so you can certainly know about that. Southbound 1 at Morrissey, the boulevard, the off-ramp closed, also 24 hours a day. For road work scheduled to continue until midsummer. And this report is brought to you by Great America. Right now, twice the fun at Great America. Now you can pay once and visit twice. Purchase a full-price ticket and enjoy a full day of fun. And come back any other day this season for free, only at Great America. That is traffic on KRXA.
We're blogging deep from the heart of Texas. We're broadcasting from Texas. We're doing whatever we can to be the media, in this case, be the broadcast media. Someone who has been the broadcast media for years is my guest, Mary Mapes, formerly of CBS News, still out there raking muck however she can, and bless her for doing so. Mary, wanted to talk about the railroad that you got at CBS, the National Guard story, of course, that folks are familiar with. We got some callers who want to ask you about that. We're going to get to them in just a second. Has anybody ever disputed the content of those controversial memos?
Administration has done a number of turns on it. When we first showed it to them in September 2004, they said, look, see what it says here. This actually proves exactly what President Bush has been saying. He had the permission of superiors to leave the unit and go to Alabama all the way to, and then they started claiming that the things were false. And people really have not disputed the content, and there's really no way to dispute the content. One of the things, I mean, that I say about our story now, and I think it's absolutely true, is that our biggest problem in doing that story is that we were 2.5 years too early. Mm. I don't think now, if we ran that story, there would be the same reaction at all for a couple of reasons. One of them is that we've had an additional 2.5 years to see how the Bush administration has operated, and cronyism, enabling, allowing this guy to skate on things, not to take responsibility, hiding evidence, stonewalling, refusing to answer questions, denying. This stuff has become daily material out of the White House. And I think it's the same pattern of behavior you see with the National Guard records and with their response to questions about his National Guard record. So I don't think anyone would find it surprising. The other thing I think would be much different now, back in September 2004, the blogosphere in terms of power was really dominated by conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not that balancing effect of a progressive blogosphere or even somebody who was going to look at this in a nonpartisan way. So mm-hmm. we were just completely shouted down by this symphony of right-wing screamers.
Indeed. A symphony of right-wing screamers. Let's go to Barbara in Salt Lake City. Barbara, welcome to the Peter B. Show. You have a question for Mary Mapes.
Well, yes. Mary, I followed this story a lot. When I first found out about it, the wonderful writer that just died that you just mentioned.
Molly Ivins.
Yes, when she wrote about it in one of her books, The Year of Being AWOL, that's when I decided I had to start doing things. I ended up being very active in spreading information under the guise of No Bush, K-N-O-W Bush.
And Barbara, we're short on time, so
okay,
if you can give us a question real quick.
Okay, right. I just, in researching this, and Dick Thornburg, who handled that dang panel that investigated CBS, I wondered if you were aware of just how right-wing and how similar to Gonzalez his policies were when he was Attorney General to Daddy Bush.
I was aware of just about everything I needed to know about Thornburg. I know he's the first U.S. Attorney General to drape a naked statue at the Department of Justice.
Before Ashcroft?
Yes.
I had no idea.
He was crude before Ashcroft was crude.
Oh, he was horrible. He was, up until that time, he was the most hiding, secretive Attorney General ever. And it turns out he was also... he stopped an investigation into Baker Botts, a client that was selling chemicals to Iraq in 91.
Thanks for your call, Barbara. I got to move on because we're coming out to the bottom of the hour. Did you get a fair shake from that panel that looked into things?
No, it was ridiculous. Like something out of the Soviet Union. It was a Kafkaesque experience where you go before a group of people who don't know anything about what you do and are prepared to judge you for the way you've done it, have already made their minds up and have been paid to have their minds made up. I mean, the purpose of the panel was to go in and show what we had done wrong, and there was no way they were going to, at the end of the panel, say, you know what, I think they did a decent job. To me, it was a lot of it was summed up. Thornburg asked me, I went in there with, oh, good grief, hundreds of pages of notes and names and backing up, you know, 6 ways from Sunday, everything we had reported. And after 3 days of 10 hours a day testimony, Thornburg said to me, and I had gone through the list of all these people in Bush's unit, and it reads like a who's who of Texas, you know, the sons of politicians and billionaires, et cetera. And he said, Mary, don't you think it's possible that all these fine young men got in there on their own merit? No, I don't. You know, me skeptical, but no, I don't.
No, I don't think that's what he really said.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got only about 30 seconds here. What was the hatchet job here? Was this to send a message to the rest of the media, or was this to take out Dan Rather once and for all, as you see it? Or
it
none of the above?
Things. It was corporate journalism, and corporate journalism is interested first and foremost in protecting the bottom line, and that's not just CBS, that's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why we've really had a completely neutered journalistic system in this country for the past, I mean, it's been progressing, getting worse and worse, but it's been getting very bad in the last 10 years. That's primarily what it was. I think CBS probably wanted to replace Dan Rather with someone who was more administration-friendly and who had better legs, you know, which is not hard to do. You know, when you're 70 years old and male.
Was this a setup?
A setup? You mean like Rove and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If Karl Rove had intended to give me forgeries, they would have been proved to be forgeries. They would have been flat out proved to be forgeries.
And they've never been proven to be forgeries.
Absolutely
one way or another.
Not. I mean, as opposed to the Niger documents, which were proved to be forgeries, I mean, if my documents are forged, the administration should have hired the guy who did mine.
Yeah, right. You went to air with yours. They went to war with theirs. Mary Mapes, formerly of CBS, thanks for being with us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
No problem.
All right, back with Jason Leopold and Billy. Hang on. We'll try to get to you after this.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Charles Osgood. Sometimes a small business can grow into a big business. That's what happened to the business of buying and selling domain names on the Internet. What started out as a quirky little effort to stake out claims to certain names, the name game has grown into a $2 billion industry that's growing so fast it's like the Wild West, says Jerry Nolte, the managing partner of the new trade publication Domainers Magazine. What's in a name? I'll give you a few examples after this for Office Depot.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice then. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333, we'll name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333. That's 800-282-3333 for the hottest gift.
People are now purchasing domain names at the rate of 90,000 a day. At the end of the first quarter of 2007, at least 128 million domain names had been registered worldwide. That's a 31% increase over the first quarter of last year. At a domain auction held during a domain conference run by an outfit called Moniker.com last month in New York, one name went for $3 million. That was CreditCheck.com. Last year, the domain name sex.com sold for $12 million. People buy up these domain names, and they're theirs until somebody else is willing to give them enough money to give them up. That's the business that Larry Fisher and Ari Goldberg are in. Last month's auction, they bought the name megayachts.com for $150,000. Do they have mega yachts? Are they in a yacht business? No. But they figure someone who is in that business will come along and offer them more than $150,000. Somebody with a mega yacht could afford to pay them a whole lot more. Goldberger and Fisher teamed up in 2001 to build up their portfolio of domain names. Bob Parson, the CEO and founder of the domain registration company GoDaddy.com, says domain names are becoming 21st century real estate. People are buying up domain names the same way that people buy real estate, just for investment, figuring that they're bound to appreciate in value. Sometimes, they say, you can figure the worth of a name as soon as you hear it. Sex.com. $12 million. Wow. Why didn't you and I think of that? The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
3, 2...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away, but the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
We've secretly replaced the White House press corps with actual reporters.
Yes, we have.
Raising a fuss, raising a holler all week long here. Out of Texas, Houston, Texas, on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your friendly citizen investigative journalist, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in, taking over the airwaves, being the media, being the broadcast media for at least another day or two. We're happy you're joining us. We are going to have our Election Integrity Hour coming up next hour with John Gideon and Leonard Piazza from Lucerne County, Pennsylvania, who's written a pretty extraordinary letter. He's had it with the ES&S voting machine company. He's going to be joining us to explain what's going on out there. And we will be taking your calls, and we will try to talk about Governor Bill Richardson last night on the CNN YouTube debate. Governor Richardson says he's against touchstone voting machines. You heard that right. He's against those touchstones. We're going to talk about that in our next hour, no doubt. Before we get there, though, one of Peter B.'s regular weekly guests from truthout.org joins us today, Jason Leopold, an award-winning investigative journalist, former L.A. bureau chief for Dow Jones Newswire, breaking key stories about the California energy crisis, Enron's corporate infamous phony trading floor, and, well, geez, all sorts of things. Leopold currently writes about foreign and domestic policy online for publications Truthout, Counterpoint, Counterpunch, I'm sorry, Raw Story, Z Magazine. He's also a good colleague and friend of mine from Los Angeles, Jason Leopold. Welcome to the PBC show. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brad, how are you? Great to be with you.
It's good to have you here, and thanks for joining us. You've got, boy, back to the old story, huh? Back to California.
It just circles right back around. It's actually a story, and this is the story that came out last Thursday. I've been investigating for a while under the headline, Cheney suppressed
evidence
of manipulation in California's energy crisis. And, you know, it's a story that I've been working on and off for at least 6 years. But as, you know, and sort of just collecting information, you know, it's something that I was hoping to put together in a into a book, but, you know, it just, the timing was just sort of perfect for it right now. And, you know, it's a lengthy story, but it really sort of, in light of the fact that, you know, we're dealing right now, we're seeing that this administration is asserting executive privilege for a number of different issues, for, you know, issues as far-reaching as, you know, just not allowing anyone, not stating the reason for, you know, why so-and-so won't appear before Congress or whatever.
Or the Pat Tillman documents, anything. Executive privilege, they don't have to tell nobody nothing.
Right.
And you found that back with this phony energy crisis back
in
California, that Dick Cheney was already pulling the same crap. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's you know, like I said, it was really complicated because the energy crisis in California, for the most part, is a complicated issue. We're still sort of feeling the impact of that, and I should say that the settlements from these various energy companies continue to trickle in. So it's not an issue that has really gone away. It's just sort of gone underneath the radar. You know, just last month, the Ninth Circuit in California said they won't interfere in a lower court's decision, saying that certain energy companies had to refund the state for manipulation.
Yeah,
and I went back around I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And I went back around and started, you know, looking at all the documents and things that I collected most recently, as far back as, you know, the past 2 months, and, you know, came away with the fact that, you know, Dick Cheney was fully briefed by, you know, one of his old colleagues, actually, the guy that selected him as to replace. His name is Thomas Cruikshank. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But he selected Cheney to replace him at Halliburton. This guy happened to sit on the board of Williams Companies. And in March of 2001, this individual, Thomas Cruikshank, had informed Cheney that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission was in possession of incriminating audio tapes that showed Williams Companies shutting down a power plant in California just to drive up prices and create an artificial shortage. And from there, it actually, you know, what's pretty amazing is how that led Cheney to...
And if I can, before you get to what Cheney said, just to give an idea of this transcript from Williams, Rhonda Morgan, a Williams official, let's see, she says, it wouldn't hurt Williams' feelings if the power plant that was down for repairs at the time was kept offline for an extended period of time so the company could continue to be paid the, quote, premium for its emergency energy supplies from the ISO. In a separate conversation, Eric Pendergraft, a senior AES, if it, AES is which one is AES?
AES is actually, I believe that's its proper name, AES.
The corporate,
Yeah, that's its corporate name.
Said a senior AES official in the conversation with Morgan said, I don't want to do something underhanded, but if there's anything, any work you can continue to do, Pendergraft responded to Morgan saying, I understand. You don't have to talk anymore.
Right.
And basically, they were agreeing to game the system.
Exactly.
And now you had the FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Committee, looking at this stuff, but not releasing the data publicly, even though Dick Cheney knew about it.
Exactly. And this was at a time in March of 2001 when Cheney was knee-deep in, you know, crafting this energy policy, reaching out to hundreds of different people in the energy industry. And at the same time that you had Gray Davis, who was the governor at the time, standing out there publicly stating that energy companies were ripping off the state.
And he was railroaded, even by Dick Cheney.
Well, first we should say that, like, if this came out publicly at the time, And certainly, you know, I interviewed Gray Davis for this story, and I think that he's actually right, that if this evidence came out publicly, that if FERC released this evidence and showed that energy companies were, in fact, taking advantage of California gaming the system, and this was before Enron's bankruptcy, mm-hmm. it would have absolutely derailed the national energy policy, which was the, you know, one of the first things other than planning for an invasion in Iraq that Cheney was working on. This came out around that time, certainly came out around the time that there were, you know, we were still dealing with blackouts. Pacific Gas and Electric was on the brink of bankruptcy, and Cheney basically summoned Kurt Hebert, who at the time was the chairman of Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to the White House for a meeting, and told him to suppress the evidence, to basically put it under seal. And that's exactly what they did. They put this under seal. This was unbelievable, you know, action on the part of FERC. Never told anyone in California, you know, what was in this investigation, what was in the transcripts, and just allowed Williams to forfeit money that it was owed from the California Independent System Operator. Meanwhile, the blackouts continued. Davis continued to, you know, hammer away at these energy companies and, you know, ask for some sort of federal relief, and they just sort of let him hang out there. And this actually led, right after the bankruptcy of PG&E. What's most interesting that I've discovered from this investigation was how Ed Gillespie, who is now the President Bush's counselor,
right?
How he at the time was working for Enron as a lobbyist, and how he had put together, along with another individual named Scott Reed, both these guys ran these Republican front groups. One was the American Taxpayers Association and the 21st Century National Energy Project, basically they started running ads against Gray Davis, targeting him as the reason that the blackouts in the state were taking place, and saying say no to just say no to gray outs, I believe is what it was.
That's what it was.
Put it in the article.
And Cheney was going on the air and continuing the fiction. He says, you've got a quote here from Frontline: "The problem you had in California," said Dick Cheney, "was caused by a combination of things. An unwise regulatory scheme because they didn't really deregulate. Now they're trapped from unwise regulatory schemes, plus not having addressed the supply side of the issue. They've obviously created major problems for themselves and bankrupted PG&E in the process. But then, what do you know, all these years later, you report in 2004, Reliant refunded $453 million to California,
right.
Two other companies, paid California $84 million, a total of about refunds to California consumers to the tune of $6 billion. That
right.
whole thing was a scam.
Yeah, a total scam,
and they
really
knew it all the way to the top, Jason.
Exactly, and it really, you know, just getting back to what I was saying originally is that in the assertion of executive privilege here, you know, there have been some arguments made about, well, there's, you know, it's just a matter of Cheney being stubborn, perhaps, because the documents are not that incriminating. You know, if these documents were released, if these energy task force documents were released, what people are going to find is that the individuals who were advising the White House, the vice president, on this energy policy, at the same time were, you know, involved in this huge scam in California. As I said earlier about Ed Gillespie and the fact that he was taking out print ads and newspapers and running radio ads, his the funding for that came directly from Reliant Energy. This is the company that you just said, you know, had refunded California $453 million.
And we're staying in a I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that funding was actually funneled to Ed Gillespie through Grover Norquist. I mean,
the same old crew. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. It's the incestuous relationship here is just
And they didn't want in the National Energy Plan that they were working on. They basically wanted schemes similar to what California had, correct? So that they could run this all over the country.
The final product that came out, which you could still read online, which came out on May 16th, that National Energy Policy basically, says open up the entire industry, the entire electricity sector, to deregulation, to competition. Give over these transmission lines, free up the transmission line so all these energy companies can have access to it.
Yep.
And, this whole thing was scuttled.
All right, hang on, Jason. We got to take a break here.
Sure.
We're going to pick this up on the other side. We're speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. We were also speaking with Mary Mapes last hour about being railroaded, and I'm going to ask Jason Leopold a thought or two. He may have one on that when it comes to reporting. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Check out this report at truthout.org, by the way. A great investigative work by Leopold. We're going to be back with much more here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. Back after this.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
There we go. That's the traffic sounder. Let's get right to it. And let's mention the fact that we do have a problem being reported in Live Oak. It's on South Rodeo Gulch at Soquel. It's an accident reported. Fire department units on scene, so possible injuries. And we do have a couple other new problems. Santa Cruz, looks like southbound one at Morrissey Boulevard, fender bender. It's on the right shoulder there. And two vehicles involved, by the way. Another problem is in Monterey County. It's on Chular River Road at Main Street. Two-car crash. It is off to the right-hand shoulder, and CHP is getting there quickly and on the way to the scene. A support brought to you by Office Depot. Need great-looking documents? At Office Depot, you'll find Xerox-certified print specialists to make sure that the job is done right. Guaranteed. Stop by Office Depot or visit them online at 24/7 Office Depot, taking care of business.
All right, we're back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Rocking down Electric Avenue with Jason Leopold of truthout.org, who has a terrific investigative report showing that our old friend Dick Cheney knew about the California electricity scam long ago, kept it undercover. And Jason Leopold, was that whole thing just about taking over California, getting Gray Davis out, getting Arnold Schwarzenegger in, as far as you see it?
You know, it's funny because I don't think that originally that certainly was in their mind. But in April of 2001, shortly after this, these meetings took place, Ed Gillespie, Scott Reed, these are two guys who used to work for the Republican National Committee, and this was following the bankruptcy by Pacific Gas and Electric. These guys advised the White House, advised Karl Rove, advised Cheney that they can use this to their advantage in terms of, just using it against Davis, who was vulnerable. And so that month, April 2001, Karl Rove met with a few people from California, two individuals who were campaign supporters and fundraisers for President Bush, and they proposed the question to Karl Rove about having Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor in the following year, and Rove is quoted as saying that he thinks that would be really nice, really, really nice, and that's a direct quote from what Rove how he responded.
So I think
that certainly, once the pieces fell into place, once the the genie was out of the bottle, so to speak, they just ran with it. And if you look at at what the state of affairs is right now, particularly with Karl Rove and these various PowerPoint presentations that are that have taken place, and even with his involvement and Dick Cheney's involvement in releasing water from this dam that wound up killing all these endangered fish.
Right.
This certainly doesn't seem to be out of the norm, in a sense. Right. I mean, I think it certainly fits their profile.
It certainly does. It may be that they were, they're certainly opportunists, if nothing else. Let's go to Jake in Arcata. Jake, welcome to the PBC show.
Hey, Brad, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Jake?
Oh, good. I'd just like to comment on the whole issue of Enron and their ties to the Bush family.
After all,
Enron was the biggest campaign contributor to George W. Bush during the course of his political career. And once Bush and Cheney come to power, Enron throws California's economy into chaos, ripping off billions. In these fake blackouts that never had to happen, they were doing this just to jack up the energy price. But Bush and Cheney refused to set any price caps on energy. And of course, we know why they did this. They did this to help out their buddies at Enron. And in the course, California, we were ripped off. That's the bottom line, and it's Bush and Cheney's fault for having supported Enron, and something should be done about it.
Indeed. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate that. Listen, Jace, did you have any thoughts on that call, or shall I move on?
Yeah, I think that he's right. First of all, Enron, during the recount of the 2000 campaign, Enron loaned the Bush administration their corporate jets. They were certainly a huge supporter. And, again, if you look at the policies, if you look at, some of the – actually, I included some of the emails that were passed around during this time when the energy policy was being written. And the guy who is right now heading the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, his name is Joseph Kelleher. He had actually been an Energy Department official at the time working – on the energy policy, and he emailed some of these companies in one instance, actually asking somebody if he was king or il duce, what would he like to see in the national energy policy with regard to these issues that your caller just brought up.
And what was the answer?
They basically gave him it was a very lengthy answer, very very technical, but it has a lot to do with environmental. Power plant, loosening power plant environmental restrictions across the board, which was actually implemented into the national energy policy and adopted as part of President Bush's Clear Skies Act. So, which is sort of funny when you think of that name, because the Clear Skies Act actually, in a sense, would contribute more CO2 into the air.
I got just a couple of questions, a couple of minutes here. We were speaking with Mary Mapes. She was railroaded out of CBS. I suspect you may have some thoughts about certainly what happened to her. It happened to you, too, concerning this Karl Rove business. You had reported many months ago now that he was to be indicted.
I don't know what you're talking about, Brad.
You've never heard of this story. Let me refresh your memory, sir.
Rumor out there.
Perhaps this will refresh your memory. You had reported it was based on basically a sealed versus sealed indictment, correct, in the federal courts?
Yeah, the reporting that went into that particular story was pretty intense. I mean, it's certainly we could debate the issues of whether things should have, we should have waited. Certainly, I think those are valid questions. I think what happened afterward was totally unexpected, unfair to some degree, because it became highly personal, and I believe that the failure of the media in large part had to do with the fact that I reported this story, and as a reporter who does not work in the mainstream, they found that the place this story was reported on, an alternative or independent news outlet, was just questionable. And, one of the things that came up immediately was, why would anyone leak this to Jason Leopold, as opposed to handing it to the New York Times or the Washington Post, assuming that, in fact, that somebody actually leaked it to me. I think that, I'm totally sympathetic to somebody like Mary Mapes, because I think that, this is a person who was probably, in large part, absolutely taken down wrongfully, and hung out to dry. In my case, I'm fortunate that I have editors that that stood behind me. But with regard to this particular story, I mean, Brad, to this day, not a single person has bothered to ask Fitzgerald, or has bothered to Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, the circumstances behind Rove, regardless of whether he'll answer the question. Still a question that has yet to be asked.
Have you been able to ask since this? We're coming up to the top of the hour, so I got to get out. But have you been able to ask Fitzgerald?
I have not been able to ask personally, but we have emailed him numerous times, and we've emailed Rove's attorney asking for a copy of this so-called letter that exonerates him. So, I think that a lot of people were clearly wanted to see Rove indicted. When it didn't happen,
took it out on you, didn't they? Listen, I got to get out, Jason. Keep up the good work you're
Thanks.
Doing.
Same
Check
with
out.
You, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Jason Leopold from truthout.org. I think he was right about that story. I think history will tell. We're back with our Election Integrity Hour on PBC after this.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Pedophiles are drawn to where the kids are, and the social networking website MySpace has proven to be a powerful magnet. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports on new revelations.
The number is much higher than first thought.
29,000 sex offenders on MySpace is absolutely astonishing and appalling.
That's four times higher than MySpace previously acknowledged, and Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal is among the growing list of state authorities insisting MySpace take action.
There must be stronger reforms like age verification and identity checks that protect children from these predators who prey on them.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
NBA Commissioner David Stern says he feels betrayed. Stern spoke publicly today about the gambling allegations against former referee Tim Donaghy.
I understand that this is an isolated case involving an NBA referee who engaged not only in a violation of our rules, but in criminal conduct.
No formal charges have been filed. Stern says he's been told Donaghy is negotiating a plea deal. Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank says the facts will determine the fate of quarterback Michael Vick.
This is not about him playing football in 2007. This is about him having a life.
Blank says he's assuming the team will be without its star quarterback for the season as Vick deals with dogfighting charges. Blank calls the actions detailed in the indictment repulsive. President Bush took a new tack today, declassifying some intelligence to make his case for winning the war in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
Now it is all about Al-Qaeda and a new Pentagon plan to keep troops there, at least through 2009.
We must give General Petraeus and his troops the time and the resources they need so they can defeat Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Democrats pounced on the president.
The president is trying to scare the American people into believing that Al-Qaeda is the rationale for continuing the war in Iraq.
Mr. Bush barely mentioned the Sunni-Shiite violence U.S. troops constantly confront, using the phrase sectarian strife just twice in a half-hour speech explaining why U.S. troops are in Iraq.
The U.S. ambassador in Baghdad, Ryan Crocker, had a long meeting with the Iranian ambassador today, complaining about Iran's support for Shiite militias in Iraq. Crocker says their exchange was full and frank. A shakeup in Fred Thompson's presidential campaign even before he enters the race. Acting campaign manager Tom Collamore has bailed, reportedly over friction with the former senator's wife about the direction of the campaign. Thompson's expected to formally announce soon that he is seeking the Republican nomination. Bad day on Wall Street. The Dow plunged 226 points to 13,716. This is CBS News.
Looking to get more laps from a gallon of gas? Make a pit stop for expert service at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, up to 5 quarts, tire rotation, and much more. Just $36.95 or less. Race in for savings to your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Hurry, Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Taxes and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. Offer ends 9907.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
How often have we heard about someone just released from prison who's arrested for another crime? A report out today says something could and should be done about that. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the story.
Some 600,000 prisoners are sent back into society every year in America. A National Research Council panel calls for redirecting resources to a critical period.
Our major recommendation is to concentrate supervision and services immediately after release from prison.
The riskiest time, says University of Missouri researcher Richard Rosenfeld, when rearrests and death rates are highest. The report says no one should leave prison without an immediately available person and plan. And programs must be tailored because first-time parolees have much lower recidivism rates than multiple offenders. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Lindsay Lohan's lawyer says the young actress is back in treatment after a substance abuse relapse. She was allegedly driving drunk and carrying cocaine in Santa Monica early today. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pierce in sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pierce, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Scared. Stuck in the middle with you right here from Houston, Texas for one more hour of the Peter B. Show today. What is today? I don't even know what day it is anymore. Great to be here. I'm here for the rest of the week sitting in for PBC while he's overseas enjoying a well-deserved break. With family in Italy. It's our election integrity hour once again here on the PBC show. And as folks who know the show know that I, Brad Friedman, am a frequent guest, a weekly guest, in fact, on Peter B. Show on Fridays, which has been dubbed the election integrity hour on the Peter B. Show. Now that I've hijacked the joint, however, we have one every damn day. Going to speak momentarily here with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org to get the latest daily voting news today. And then shortly thereafter, Leonard Piazza, the election director from Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, who's got some concerns. He's being strong-armed, I think is the correct way to say it. We'll ask him what he thinks, by the ES&S Voting Machine Company. And this is not the first election director, I should add, to complain about the strong-arm tactics of ES&S. So we will talk to him about that momentarily, and then we're going to try. Oh, I got to talk as well this hour about Governor Richardson, who was at the debate last night, and he's wants to see no more touchstone voting machines. That's right. That's what he said. No more touchstone voting machines. Governor of one of the only states to actually ban DRE touchscreen voting machines. Erg, we got a mess. We'll take your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm going to try to keep the last half hour open as a free speech zone and maybe see if I can even get some of this stuff in about Gonzalez's new spying programs. Who would have thunk it? Let's go quickly, though, to catch up on the latest from our good friend John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. Oh, John, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm here and doing well. Thank you.
All right. How's our democracy? Do we still have one? What's going on?
Well, it's still, I think, in trouble, but we're doing what we can to point out where the problems are and get them fixed.
And what's the where are the news points today as this thing moves forward?
Well, my lead, as was seems yours, was the story from Luzerne County. I'll save all that and let you talk about that with Director of Elections Piazza. But in line with that, though, I wanted to point out a quote from another county official.
Right.
This is a gentleman by the name of Robbie Self, who was the county elections administrator in Miller County, Arkansas, and he resigned earlier this year from his job, and he had this to say about election systems and software.
ES&S.
The reason I am leaving is a provider of the Ivotronics, that's the direct recording electronic voting machines provided by ES&S, and related software lacks competency to make their equipment work timely and effectively. They make a difficult job impossible to do. They can't spell, meet deadlines, send documents to the right address or code elections correctly. Mm. They leave races off the ballot for us to correct. They can't program their software to work, and you have to hand add the results. And they don't return phone calls. The ES&S people in Arkansas are capable, but the people I have dealt with in the home office in Omaha prevent them from being effective. They are also mean-spirited when you try to get them to correct the numerous and recurring errors.
And that was what was his job, that fella?
He was the election administrator for Miller County, Arkansas.
Well, it seems like he's not the only one who's had that problem, and we're going to talk to Leonard Piazza about exactly that. And by the way, during the break, I was able to post that letter that he sent to his county, to his state, asking for the money that ES&S is demanding from them. I don't know any other way to put that. We'll talk to him about that in a second. All right, real quickly, anything else going on today, and what do we expect tomorrow from these hearings in the Senate, Dianne Feinstein's Rules and Administration Committee concerning her election reform bill, 1487?
Real quickly, the hearing is not really to do anything with the bill. They're not going to mark it up or anything. This is just to get more information and to allow a bunch of people to come and do their thing before a Senate committee. On the witness list is Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton is on the list of witnesses?
Yes, she is. That's a fact.
What's she going to talk?
All by herself.
What is she going to talk about?
Beats me. She is one of the co-sponsors of the bill, so I'm sure that she's going to talk
glowing terms about how wonderful it is.
And then we've got Vermont Secretary of State Deborah Markowitz, George Gilbert, who is seems to be testifying quite a bit in D.C. He's from Guilford County, North Carolina, Board of Elections. Wendy Noren from Boone, she is the Boone County Clerk in Missouri. And then Michael Shamos, who will be also testifying.
Leonard Piazza knows Michael Shamos. He tests out in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Ray Martinez?
Ray Martinez, our friend who used to be the election assistant. And the Election Assistance Commissioner with the EAC, and he's now with the Pew Center on the States, a really good guy. Mary Wilson, who is the President of the League of Women Voters. Doug Lewis.
R. Doug Lewis.
R. Doug Lewis.
Of the Election Center.
The Election Center, yeah.
You know, that's right around the corner from us here down here in Houston, John.
There you go, yeah.
So he's going to be out of town? I could go look around the place tomorrow.
He's right across the street from the lawnmower repair shop and right next door to a burned-down church.
Yes, and he's not going to be here, so I can go see what's really going on at that crappy little office. Yeah. All right.
Tanya Clay House.
So let's say a mixed bag of witnesses tomorrow at Dianne Feinstein's hearings on this.
It's going to be interesting to read some of the testimony and see where people stand, because nobody is saying anything.
Interesting. We're going to get out. We'll pick that up tomorrow, certainly. I want to make sure we have plenty of time here, though, in the next segment for Leonard Piazza. So, John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, thank you so much for all you do. Check out Bradblog.com after the show goes off the air. The daily voting news from John will be up, and you can read about all of those stories. So much more. We're back in a moment with Leonard Piazza and your calls. Please stay tuned.
Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Dallas.
And I'm Ashley.
We would like to invite you to Malibu by the Sea in Monterey.
A bold new full-service salon and bronzing spa.
We specialize in color, multi-dimensional highlights, trendy cuts, and the highest quality human hair extensions.
We'd love to help you with your new look, so give us a call at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
And let's take a look at traffic, give you the very latest up-to-date information. It's been a pretty slow afternoon, to tell you the truth, and a pretty slow evening, but that has changed a little bit since we last spoke, and we're going to mention that we do have a problem working right now. It is in Santa Cruz, southbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. It's a crash on the right shoulder, and we do have a CHP unit on scene. Live Oak, Rodeo Gulch at Soquel, a crash there. Not a lot of information being provided at this point. And we also want to take a look at another problem. It's in Salinas River Road at Parker, a crash on the right shoulder. Also Salinas West Blanco at West Acel. We have an injury crash, a car and a motorcycle in the intersection there. And another Salinas problem. It's North 101 before John Street, a two-vehicle crash on the right shoulder. And this report brought to you by J.C. Penney.
Election reform. It sure ain't pretty. Election reform. Every state, every city. Election reform. Like Iraq or Ukraine. Election reform. In the USA. We don't believe our votes are concrete. No paper ballots. We can't compete. Gotta wonder if somebody cheats. Election reform is not a sexy thing.
No, it's not.
Election reform. The media swing.
Mm-hmm.
Election reform. Do they steal? Do they rob? Election reform. Gotta look to the blog.
Yeah, you do. You gotta look to the Brad blog, bradblog.com, where I ply my trade, if I can call it that. Of course, this is our Election Integrity Hour on the PBC Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. And we've got a story today at the Brad blog. It's actually a story. It's not our story. It's from the Citizen's Voice. It's a great story out of Luzerne County. Oh, I'm going to see if I'm saying that right. Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. The election director out there, Leonard Piazza, is not happy with the treatment that he's getting from the ES&S voting machine company. They've had to, the state has had to, of course, has decided to move over to touchscreen voting systems since the implementation of the Help America Vote Act. And now that they've got these ES&S iVotronic machines, ES&S is telling them, we'll give you an extended warranty on them. It's going to cost you $300,000. We're not going to negotiate, something like that. Let's find out. We're going to get the real story here from Election Director, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania Election Director, Leonard Piazza, who joins us here at this late hour. Appreciate you jumping in and speaking with us this afternoon, Leonard.
Well, thanks for having me, Brad. I appreciate it.
And this letter is pretty extraordinary. I know you didn't mean it to get out publicly necessarily, but you talked about, quote, the mix of deception this company promulgates. You talked about unsavory business practices that vendors such as ES&S seemingly have a deep commitment to employing. Was it your choice to work with this company, ES&S, in the first place?
Well, I think that the decision, you know, came down to, you know, what our available options were at the time that we selected the system back at the outset of 2006. As you may remember, the state of Pennsylvania was up against the wall in terms of certification. A lot of the counties didn't have the opportunity, I think, to really review a lot of the systems as on their own terms.
Right.
And most of the vendors could, at that point, you know, couldn't comply with the request to fulfill an order. In fact, for that matter, ES&S told us initially that, you know, we would have all of our machines in place. And then, as it turned out, they, you know, only delivered a portion of the machines, which forced us to run a hybrid system in the county of both touchscreen and paper for that first election cycle.
And, you know, this is a problem that this company, ES&S, has had. They've all had similar problems in dealing with counties and getting out ballots on time and meeting orders. What kind of treatment did you get from the company? Were they friendly? Did they say, gosh, we're sorry, but this is the way the rules go? Or what kind of experience did you actually have with them directly?
Well, I think that it's been a difficult relationship from the outset. We entertained all of the vendors at an exhibition at our county courthouse in the summer of 2005. We had a public commission. We were open with the process, and you know we expected the vendors to be open with us as well. And even at that point, you know, I felt as though ES&S really didn't. Wasn't meeting the standard of integrity that I was expecting of them when I asked them to bring, you know, the optical scan unit. The sales representative did not bring that for us to take a look at, and it was merely to have that opportunity to look at it and have that citizen panel consider that as one of the available options.
And do I understand that they didn't even bring the machine that you had requested to see? They were is this because they were pushing their DRE touchscreens?
Yeah, the sales person brought the LS and the iVotronic, and when you know I questioned him and asked him why he didn't bring what I asked him to bring, you know he candidly told the panel and myself that you know that wouldn't be of interest to the county.
He decided what would be of interest to your county.
That's right.
That's incredible. And so they were obviously pushing these. They make a lot of money on these touchscreen systems, I guess, more than OpScan. What were you guys using before you switched over to these DREs?
No, we were a lever county. So we had the old-fashioned lever machines.
And were you required by the state to get rid of those lever machines and go to new systems?
Well, I think that, you know, we were required by the federal government. I mean, all of the counties in Pennsylvania, excepting one, you know, were able to, you know, comply with those federal regulations. And I think it's important, I think, for people to understand the positions that, you know, that we as election administrators were faced with at that particular point in time. All of the counties in Pennsylvania were under tremendous pressure from, you know, the federal government to comply with this to comply with this act and scrap those machines and get the HAVA compliance system in place.
Did HAVA actually require that you get rid of Libra machines, or was it just if you wanted the money to continue updating your system, you had to get rid of them?
Well, I think that at the time there was a legal opinion that it did in fact require us to scrap the Libra machine for the federal elections. But in the letter that was made public today, it's important I think for people to understand. that Luzerne doesn't stand alone here in this problem, and like you pointed out earlier, I wouldn't be the first election director to complain about these sorts of things. And there's a number of counties in Pennsylvania and other jurisdictions throughout the country that are facing the same thing. And I think it's time now that that as election administrators in the states and in the counties that we begin to address these issues and take them on. It's not something that we can just say, well, okay, we'll just hand over $322,000. Because that's what you say it is.
Now, and did they tell you, they said, oh, don't worry about it, we'll be able to negotiate that later, and then it turned out you had no right to negotiate it? It was $300,000 or nothing?
That's absolutely right, and not just our county, other counties throughout the Commonwealth as well. So, they made representations early on that, hey, look, the most important thing right now is getting the machine on the ground. We've got to meet the requirements, and there's articles that go back to March of 2006 when I remember reading stories out of Ohio where the jurisdictions in Ohio were just getting the bills for the extended warranties, and they were, what they deemed in the press in Ohio to be in sticker shock. So, I did raise these concerns early on with the vendors, but we were told we could talk about that at a later time. There would be plenty of time to negotiate, contracts at the county level.
Just trust us. Leonard Piazza, are you able to, I know it's late out there, would you be able to stick around for another quick segment after the break here, or do you have to get going?
No, sure, I can stay on.
I appreciate it, because, I try to reach out to election directors as much as I can. For some reason, a lot of them don't like talking to me. And I wish that wasn't the case, because we're kind of all in this mess together. I think you guys have gotten a raw deal. You talk about the multinational corporations that you've got to, that you have no choice at this point but to do business with, and sort of their thuggish behavior. I want to see if we can get more details on that, and maybe even take a call or two here. We're speaking with Leonard Piazza, election director for Luzerne County. Oh, boy, being bullied by the ESNS voting machine company here in our Election Integrity Hour. We're going to talk about that much more after this break. I'm Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over BradBlog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And it's not worth fighting for.
It is worth fighting for.
This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep it free.
We will.
You won't go telling me our vote don't matter anymore.
It does. And we're going to fight to make sure that it matters. We're speaking with Leonard Piazza, election director for Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. We've got a report up at BradBlog today. We've got the full letter posted now from Leonard Piazza about the problem he's been having with the ESNS voting machine company. He writes that in addition to the $300,000 that ESNS is by and large strong-arming them for, it seems to me, He writes that the county cannot individually deal with such a large multinational corporation and the mix of deception this company promulgates, and respectfully asks that the Commonwealth, specifically the Department of State, for its leadership in ensuring that the voting system vendors doing business here do not have the opportunity to threaten a democratic process with such unsavory business practices that vendors such as ES&S seemingly have a deep commitment to employing. Leonard Piazza, what sort of unsavory business practices are you referring to here from this company?
Well, what we're talking about there with that is, promises made and promises broken, on a number of different occasions. We were told that we would get certain things from the company, certain discounts, certain breaks, certain equipment benefits and things of that nature, and they just never followed through on a lot of that stuff. It's very difficult to work with all around, and it's just been tough. It's been real tough on me as an election director, and I know a number of the other election directors. So when I speak to the issue of not being able to deal with them individually anymore, I think it's time now that we collectively deal with them in the state in some fashion, either through the Department of State or the counties together as one.
Well, I suspect that it's rare, and a lot of election officials around the country, I find. Find themselves defending the voting machine companies that they end up really in partnership with. And so I think if we're at the point where you, the election director of Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, are speaking out against this company, what they must have done must be not good. And I don't know if you heard what John Gideon, did you hear the segment before we brought you on, Leonard, with John Gideon?
Yeah.
From Miller County, Arkansas election administrator, who said that he's leaving the job. Because ES&S lacks competency to make their equipment work timely and effectively. They make the job impossible to do. They can't spell, meet deadlines, send documents to the right address or code elections correctly. Did that sound familiar to you?
Well, in our case, a lot of it, we realized, I think, early on that they were, in over their heads in terms of, how much service and support they could provide. In fact, they told us, very early on that they wouldn't be able to provide us services and support for the first election. So I, as an election administrator, had to take the initiative and kind of, navigate the waters, myself, so to speak, with the county here. Our staff and our team here in Luzerne, and we were pretty much out there on our own to figure a lot of this stuff out. And it's important for me to continue to fully understand that system and know that when those machines go out that that they've been checked and double checked and triple checked by our folks here. And I've seen the stories about misspellings and things of that nature. We don't even leave that up to the company. We do that completely in-house so that I know that, I see what's going in. And then when I get the coding back, the same thing had better come out.
Leonard, I know that when you said that when you were asking for the demonstration, they didn't even bring the optical scan originally. Why did you go with a touchscreen DRE systems instead of paper-based optical scan systems when you had this choice to make?
Well, we found, I think, that by and large, as many of the other counties in the Commonwealth did, that the voter preference really was for the touchscreen system, and
Based on what? Where did you get that?
Well, we got it from our exhibition that we held. We had a very large exhibition, which I think we had between 7 and 10 of the vendors that were competing for the contract in the county at the time, and we took a considerable amount of feedback on that. So it wasn't something that it's look at this fancy device here. Let's get this. It wasn't anything like that.
With all due respect, though, the voters. Who I'm fighting for every day, of course, they don't understand necessarily, technically what goes into this. And while it might be more fun, I guess, to vote on a touchscreen system, you and I both know, certainly having studied these things, the dangers of the touchscreen systems that Michael Seamus, I believe it was, out there in Professor out there in Pennsylvania was testing these systems and Although I believe it was a tabulator, as a Sequoia, I believe, was showing people how they couldn't be hacked. He accidentally hacked one of those systems. I mean, don't we need this paper-based system so that we can have confidence in our electoral system so that the citizens can have it, no matter how much fun it might be to vote on touchscreen systems?
Well, our county has been on the record a number of times as, you know, a county that certainly does support a voter verified paper trail. You know, I've got concerns as an election administrator about, you know, the current legislation and the shape that will take. I don't think that at this particular point in time, considering, you know, the point we're at right now, that we should really rush into something that is not going to be as effective as it possibly can.
Can we rush back to paper ballots? And that's different from the paper trails you mentioned. I don't believe you guys should rush to paper trails because they're terrible. And I'm glad that you guys don't use paper trails on the DRE systems out there. But how about a paper optical scan system? These have been around. These have been proven. And we know that when they don't work, at least you've got a paper ballot to actually count. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, for some of the jurisdictions, I mean, there's pros and cons to both. I mean, we do use some paper ballots in our absentee system, and you
right.
know, there's been talk about expanding, you know, access to absentee ballots, and more people are using them. So, I mean, there are benefits to using paper ballots, but there are also benefits I see in using DREs, providing in that, you know, that the election administrators are doing everything that they can to ensure that those machines are working properly. And if they're not working properly, and there are ways to detect that.
I don't mean to challenge you here, because I really want to have a conversation about what are those advantages exactly, because I've yet to be able to find any. Leonard.
Well, I think that the speed of the return and I just think that overall the experience that the voter has, the speed of the return, there is the audit log that's on board, so that, you know, if we had to go back to that works. I'm somewhat satisfied in the machine's operation, in that, you know, if there's the detection of an anomaly, that the system will shut down. We've seen that happen, so and we're able to recover from that.
I feel that we're, and I appreciate those thoughts, but the speed of the return, you know, I'll wait an extra week if that's what it takes to make sure we get it right, certainly in Pennsylvania, which is a swing state. And the experience of voters, I mean, what do we mean by that? Fun, or is it easier for them to vote?
We've gotten the latter part of that. That, you know, that they find that it's easier to vote now than it has been before. So, I mean, we've not really had any kind of we've not had significant complaints here about that. And the only, you know, the one thing that does concern me about, you know, an all optical scan system nationwide is if you get into another situation like you did in Florida in 2000, that would just be a nightmare. I mean,
but Leonard, what happened in Florida was not a problem with the ballots. It was a problem with counting the ballots. At least we had something to fight about how they should be counted. Right now, these votes disappear on these touchscreen machines, and we have absolutely no idea if they are accurate or not. None. And every time we look at these machines, we find out that they're not accurate.
Well, that's the dilemma that Hava has caught. You know, I mean, you know, again, you know, from you have to look at it, you know, in you know, from the election administrator's perspective, and what we were faced with, all of the counties affected by the law, and what we had to deal with at that particular point in time, and the choices and the options that were made available to us.
Let's take a quick call here. Mary in Pennsylvania. Mary, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Brad, and hi, Leonard. How are you?
Good, Mary Beth. How are you?
Is this Mary Beth Kuznick?
Yes, hi.
You guys have been fighting it out on the blog, I see. So we'll try our best to stay civil here. What's up, Mary Beth?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Leonard, I'm glad to talk to you in person in a more calm manner than sometimes we've met before, but that's not a story for your show, Brad. It's kind of concerning to me. I think the letter is great that Mr. Piazza wrote. I think it's just terrific because it tells it like it is. But I would like to point out that over the course of the selection process in the state of Pennsylvania, many, many citizen groups in all parts of the state tried to do due diligence as citizens and dredged up cost reports and comparisons of optical scan versus DRE.
Mm-hmm.
And the process was, as it was described, the vendors came in there. They didn't bring the optical scan machines to show. They did everything they could to steer these counties onto DREs because the profit margin's higher.
They did, Mary Beth. And do you have a quick question? Because we're short, as usual.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'd just like to, ask your guest, where he sees this going. I mean, my county's one of the Ivotronic counties, and I actually haven't been over to the courthouse to see what we're doing, but where do you see this ending up?
Thanks, Mary Beth. Appreciate it, and appreciate all you're doing out there to fight for democracy in Pennsylvania. Leonard, any thoughts?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Mary Beth. I appreciate that. Where do I see it going? To put it simply, I can't see where it's going, okay, because I think it's going to go on for a long time to come. The ripple effect that HAVA has caused in the 2000 election and the aftermath of that is just... It's extraordinary, really, because we haven't really seen anything like this since, the late 1800s when, there were controversies over, blanket ballots and things of that mm-hmm. nature and the push to switch to the lever machines. So I think we're at, that period again, and I think it will be some time before all of this, takes a final form, and what form that final form is just yet to be seen. I don't think anybody really knows where it's going.
Well, I agree, and I think it's a mess, and, Mary Beth raises a good point. I think that with this company, ES&S, Diebold, and the others, it seems to me that they have very much been, let me say, driving a wedge between the officials and folks like Mary Beth. I know you guys have had your back and forth. You can read about it on the open thread over there at BradBlog. But I think this has been exploited by the vendors and who have not been honest players here and who have made it in such a way that the officials, like you, are now bound. You've got to stay with these systems, whether you like it or not. And they're pointing to folks like Mary Beth and me and saying, they're crazy. You want the speed of returns. You want the fun experience of the voters. And I think ultimately it's the voters who suffer here, Leonard, because they're exploiting. These are bad guys. I really think these companies are behaving as bad guys and are driving a wedge between voters and voting officials. And do you see anything to that?
Well, I think that there's a new tension between election officials in the jurisdictions and individuals like you and Mary Beth that certainly have every right to question the process and
I think the companies are exploiting that.
Well, and that may be, but it goes back to the decisions that we had to make at the time and under the pressure that we were under to make it. And the suggestion that we could have just gone out and bought an optical scan system, considering that they didn't even bring it to the table in the first place, I'm quite certain that we would have been told, well, that we just don't have it, because another state, is using that. They're demanding a statewide optical scan, so therefore we can't provide that. We don't have the resources.
Talk to Mary Beth and those advocates. They'll stand by your side if we're going to fight for paper ballots. We will. We need to work together on this, Leonard. I got to get out. Leonard Piazza, thank you very much for taking the hard questions here today. I really appreciate it, and for standing up to ES&S. Leonard Piazza, election director for Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Thanks, Leonard.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good evening.
You betcha. You too. All right, we're back for a few more minutes. We got to get out. Brad Friedman here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs, and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show on KRXA 540.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the very latest, and let's get to it. So, we're going to mention a problem working right now. It is in, Salinas River Road at Parker, accident, right shoulder, two vehicles involved. Also, Salinas West Blanco at Alisal, we have an injury crash, a car and a motorcyclist involved in this crash. It's in the intersection, CHP actually on scene. And we want to mention also another problem that the CHP is helping with. It is Salinas northbound 101 before John Street, two-car crash, right shoulder. Other than that, let's look at another problem. It's in, Soquel, 41st Avenue of Soquel Drive, a two-vehicle crash reported. Capitola, southbound 1 after Bay Avenue, fender bender right shoulder. And the support brought to you by PG&E. Look for the blue and gold PG&E sticker for your Compet fluorescent light bulbs. Support, again, brought to you by PG&E.
All right, we're back for our last few minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman, burning down the house. For Peter B. Just a few minutes left here before we get to wrap it up for today, the end of our Election Integrity Hour. I am quite grateful to Leonard Piazza for sitting in today to answer some of those questions. Hope he'll come back and other election officials will come back to meet the press, so to speak, that they usually don't get to meet. Speaking of meeting the press here, last night Democrats had a debate, the so-called YouTube debate. There was one question about democracy. It was not a particularly brilliantly worded question, something about standardizing elections or something. The answer, however, was rather telling. It came from Bill Richardson, the only person up on that stage who really should know this stuff, since his state of New Mexico had banned touchscreen voting machines after the various disasters they had in 2004, when they actually cut off the recount, did all sorts of things. The question was, are these systems, why is it so hard to make a standardized system? He took the opportunity to, here's his response about touchstone voting machines.
As president, I would push the whole country to verify paper trails. There are close to 10 states that do this. My state, a year ago, my state was one of those states, along with Florida and Ohio, that because of the touchstones, there was uncertainty about the election. We have close to 50% of those Americans eligible to vote voting. That is inexcusable compared to many other nations. We need to have same-day registration. We need to have an effort to get the Republican Party to stop suppressing minority voters. We need to find ways also to depoliticize the Justice Department that tried to find those voters that were legitimately voting. And lastly, a verifiable paper trail with optical scanners is going to improve turnout, democracy, and it's going to get a lot of young voters in the polls.
We're going to take a short break.
All right. Well, there's the governor of New Mexico last night at the Democratic debate talking about his concerns about those touchstones. I'm sure he meant touchscreen, DRE touchscreen voting machines, though it sure would give you a little bit more confidence if the governor of New Mexico, who's running for president, the only guy who actually banned these systems in his own state, knew what they are called. So, all right, we'll call him nervous. He's nervous. It's a debate. Fine. He goes on then to speak about paper trails and voter verifiable paper trails. Look, people, it's not a paper trail. It's a paper ballot, and it's not voter verifiable or voter verified. It is by its nature, if you use a paper ballot that is going to be used on an optical scan machine that can, or counted by hand, that can be counted by that machine or by hand later, it is by its very nature, by its very definition, it is voter verified because you fill it in. Now, I'm not running for president, but is it that hard to get that message across when you're the only guy who has actually banned these systems? And by the way, when he banned these systems, and Leonard Piazza was talking about the upsides, he was trying to come up with some upsides for these DRE systems. You know, one of the things they said is that it makes it easier to vote. There's not as many lost votes on these systems. Well, when New Mexico banned touchscreen voting and they went to paper-based systems, guess what? Minority undervote rates went plummeting. American Indian precincts, 89%, I'm sorry, 86% undervote rates had plummeted. Hispanic communities, 69%, the undervote rates had plummeted, simply going from touchscreens or touchstones to paper-based systems, optical scan systems in this case. This is the governor of New Mexico. He's running for president. Can someone there be a voice for democracy? Is that too much to ask? Now, we may hear something more from Dennis Kucinich about this before all is said and done. I hope we hear from the rest of the candidates. I hope when they come to your town, you will hold them, their feet to the fire, and ask them the tough questions about paper ballots and, yes, touchstone voting machines. Am I being too hard on them? All right. This herewith. We wrap up another brilliant 3 hours of radio here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's been great to thank you for being here with us. We've still got a few more days here coming up tomorrow. Who we got tomorrow, Desiree? Oh, somebody wants to pick. Turn on your mic because someone wants to hear from you. Tell us who's coming up tomorrow. Do you know?
Let's go. Tomorrow we have, Max Blumenthal. Yes, he's exposing the chicken hawks from today's College Republicans.
Oh, he's going to expose
those guys had their own conference. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. And Brad Blumenthal. Washington, D.C. correspondent Margie Byrne.
Oh, Margie Byrne. She's got a breaking story that we're going to run tomorrow at Brad Blog.
Ooh, I can't wait. And also, of course, the Daily Election Integrity Hour with John Gideon. How's that?
And breaking news and your calls, if we can ever fit them in, and so much more. I want to thank today's guest, Dwayne Bradley, here, the general manager of KPFT. Please help him out to throw a few shekels their way at kpft.org. They are making it possible for me to rant at you all damn week long. Otis McClay, also out here at KPFT. Mary Mapes of HuffingtonPost.com. Check out her stuff. Jason Leopold of TruthOut.org. Check out his stuff. John Gideon's stuff at VotersUnite.org. And, of course, at BradBlog.com. And Leonard Piazza, the election director of Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Go check out that story at BradBlog. My thanks to Brian Urban and Katrina Rill up at home base. What do we call it? Mission Control in San Francisco. Of course, the lovely Desi Doyen here, making it all possible in Houston, Texas. I am your friendly citizen blogger, whether you like it or not. Brad Friedman will be back tomorrow for much, much more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a heads up for parents. Apparently, the number of convicted sex offenders on MySpace is much larger than previously acknowledged. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr is following this story.
A number of states, including Texas, have moved aggressively to round up suspected sex offenders known to be using the networking site. The company MySpace will not confirm any real numbers, but says it has already successfully identified and removed sex offenders from its site, which contains some 180 million profiles.
But we should say there is no real way to know exactly how big this problem might be. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children says there are more than 600,000 registered sex offenders in the U.S., and who knows how many might have access to Internet sites.
According to North Carolina's Attorney General, MySpace has detected and removed 29,000 sex offenders, more than four times the number reported in May.
Today was a continuation of more of the same.
Senator John Kerry on President Bush's speech in South Carolina.
The president is trying to scare the American people into believing that Al-Qaeda is the rationale for continuing the war in Iraq.
That was Mr. Bush's point today, and he declassified some intelligence to make his case.
The president is trying to...
Arguing that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is part of the same terror network as the one headed by Osama bin Laden, President Bush ridiculed Democrats who say the Iraqi-based group is not really a threat to America.
Well, it's like watching a man walk into a bank with a mask and a gun and saying he's probably just there to cash a check.
In a speech to military personnel, Mr. Bush said that early withdrawal from Iraq would surrender that country to Al-Qaeda as a base from which it could launch new attacks on the U.S. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president at Charleston Air Force Base, South Carolina.
The controversy over Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and the firings of federal prosecutors seemed to die down for a while, but CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports it flared up today at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing.
Gonzalez, berated by senators who say they have no confidence in him, said he didn't know how many U.S. attorneys he ordered fired and denied he lied to the committee. He wouldn't talk about the administration's claim it can block contempt of Congress charges against White House aides. That upset Republican Arlen Specter.
If that is to happen, the president can run the government as he chooses, answer no questions, say it's executive privilege, you can't go to court,